would you just again lift your attention to Him, and would you fill your mouth with words of adoration for the King of Kings. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Surely the Spirit of the Lord is in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we yield to the Holy Ghost. We yield to the Holy Ghost today. That's it. Would you continue to pray right now? There's a depth of the Holy Ghost in this house. Would you let your voice out just a little more as the Lord leads you right now? Would you pray in the Spirit? God is taking this church to a level it's never been before, but it's the will of God that we go there. It's the will of God that we intercede, that we do spiritual warfare for the souls that are in this area. Kando ria shatando rokotore kataha ino suru tomo toko shatane ke siti ne. In the name of Jesus, irolo sikete borokate yando koshai. In the name of Jesus, let everything that is here be established according to your will, according to your way, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. What do you want us to do, Jesus? What would you have us to do, Jesus? Help us to be sensitive to the mind of God, the will of God, the ways of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I humble myself as I stand before this great congregation. I submit myself to your pastor, my friend, Brother Tyler Stevenson. I thank God for the mantle and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is in this place. And I have felt such a burden, as though God was literally wanting to speak tonight. And to you specifically, I thought as a preacher, I said, I need notes, but I battled because in my mind, I wanted the security of knowing exactly what I was going to say. And then I also thought, well, I have notes, and so I could use those, but I felt like God said no. And this would be the second time that I've had the privilege of preaching here. And I say this giving God credit and praise, but I didn't use notes the first time. That's not a boast. It's simply that we're trying to be led by the Holy Ghost. We're trying to follow after God. And when you are Spirit-led, God is not always predictable. God wants us to be led by Him. Hallelujah. That's the desire. And I believe God is establishing this church. I could not help but weep. But I also, as they were singing, but I also felt the smile of God upon this assembly. I really felt like when God looks down at Wallace Ridge, He looks down with a smile and says, I love those people. They are my people. I'm going to do great things in this people. And I think we ought to give God praise. You are the sheep of His pasture. You are the apple of His eye. He cares about you. And I'm so thankful to stand here, and I give honor to God, and I bless this great host of people, because upon you there is great potential. And I just feel to just talk to you tonight. And I'm going to preach a little bit. We'll go to the scripture. But if you will, one more time before we enter in, would you lift your hands and say, God, I open my spirit to what you're going to talk to me about tonight. Jesus, I pray, hide me. Do not let any man see me. Let every man see Jesus Christ. Let every man be drawn to you, God. Let every man have a deeper and closer relationship with you. By the time this moment is over, get all the credit. Get all the praise. praise. I give you worship and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Would you clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated in Jesus' name? On the way here, I felt just a myriad of emotions and feelings regarding this great church as I prayed, and even this week asking God, God, what do you want me to communicate to this, your precious people? Because in moments like this, when we gather corporately, it is the intent of God to speak into the DNA of his people so that he can shape how we think and shape who we are. So I begin to think about Abraham. Abraham, when you look at his life, he was the son of an idol maker. His dad was Terah, and they made ways to connect to God. So can you imagine? When Abraham came to his dad and said, God spoke to me, to which his dad, probably in a room full of idols, turned and said, which God spoke to you? Abraham said, none of these gods spoke to me, but the only God, to which his dad said, what does he look like? And Abram said, I don't know what he looks like. And you can imagine that the dad here, from a very logical perspective, is going, God spoke to you, but you don't know what he looks like. Well, what did he say? He said, I'm to leave all of this, my relationships and my residency and my reward or my job, the way I obtain a living, and I'm to go after him and look for a city. Can you imagine? In the logical mind of Terah, he was like, you are making a bad mistake. But can I preach to you that when God calls you, it will cause you to make some choices about your life that will not look logical to everybody else. But if God is in it, amen, God will cause it to come to pass, and you'll never lack for one thing. So Abraham left his residence. Everybody say his residence. He left his relationships. Everybody say relationships. He left his reward, or everybody say reward. His job, the way of making a living. He left all of that to go and to follow after God. And as God began to deal with me when I consider this, he left his residence because God says, I have a land that I will show you. He left his relationships because God said, I will be your God and I will give you a family that will literally wrap around the world. He left his reward, and this is so powerful, that when you begin to look at Genesis chapter, let me read it, chapter 15, after these things, now you got to get the context and the setting, that Abraham had just delivered Lot from the king of Sodom. He had taken his 300 trained warriors. He went down and delivered Lot, his nephew, out of the hands of a wicked king. And so the king had told him, there's a heaping pile of jewels, and they had conquest and battle, and so the spoils were there. And the king said, you can have all of these riches, just give me the souls. And Abraham said, no, you're not going to have the souls. I'm going to take the souls that were won in battle. In other words, from a spiritual standpoint, God's interested in the souls, not the spoil. And he said, I'm not going to touch one thing of that heap of riches, lest you say that you made Abraham rich. Well, look what happened in chapter 15. Abraham was still very human. And in his humanity, he was thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? I have left all of those riches back over there, and what am I going to do to eat, and what am I going to do to gather equity, and what am I going to do to get wealth? And the Lord speaks to him in chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The first time the word vision is ever used is with Abraham and how Abraham sees God. Listen to this. Fear not, Abram. The first thing God tells you when he comes to you is, do not be afraid. He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great, everybody say, reward. You know what that word reward is in Hebrew? It's sakar, S-A-K-A-R, sakar. It literally means, I am thy exceeding great wages or hire or employee. In other words, Abram, when you bought into my vision to come away from your residence, relationship, and reward, you hired me, God, to work for you and on your behalf. And guess what? If God is working for you, can anybody tell me the outcome of that profit margin? Can anybody explain the profit when God's on your side? Honey, you ain't got a sharp enough pencil, amen, to figure out God when God says, I'm working on your behalf. I want to preach to precious people, when you live for God, when you commit your ways to God, you don't have a sharp enough pencil to outdo the math that God can do. Has anybody ever looked at your checking account at the end of a month and you knew going in that there was going to be more month than money, and somehow you got to the end and there was enough left over and you're going, I don't know how there's $300 left in this account. It should be at least $250 in the negative. Anybody ever been there? I'm telling you, I've been there. And I've been tempted to go back with a calculator. And you know what I hear God say? Don't do that. Don't you try to figure me out. You leave me and my math alone and you trust God. I'm preaching to precious people right now that God is wanting to bless you in such a way where your trust is not in the almighty dollar, but it's in the almighty God. Your trust is in God, and God's able to do for you what nobody else can do. Can I tell you, as precious saints of God, as sheep of God's pasture, God's been dealing with me. And I just, on the way here, I felt liberty to bare my soul and just kind of talk to you about what God's been telling me and dealing with me about. And that is that people, as a pastor, people are not the source of my paycheck. Now you say, well, that's, I know it's a little personal, but please hear the humility of my spirit. God's dealt with me and delivered me from the lust of people. Oh, I hope they come to church. Oh, I hope they pay tithe. The Lord looks down and says, hey, who pays your paycheck? Who provides for you, them or me? And God said, I had to look at God and say, God, you provide. He said, do I provide when they're present or when they're absent? It don't matter, God, if they're present or absent. You said, and David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, we got to get to the place where we're not looking around at our circumstances for what needs to be in the bank. We don't need to look at our circumstances. Our trust is in the Lord. I said, our hope is in the Lord. Woo! Shatayala mukatayala bahataye. Our trust is in God to provide. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like I need to tell you this. So please know that my spirit is pure, and God judge it if it's not. But when people come to Parkway, I have the comfort. I'm talking about the peace of God to look at them and say, you know what? There are several other great apostolic churches in the Metro Jackson area. I would love for you, in my humanity, for you to be at Parkway, but I want you to make God smile. I want you to go where God tells you to go, because the goal is not to stuff everybody in our building. The goal is to realize people belong to God, and it's God's desire. It's not my desire. But what does God want? Where does God want them to go to church? Where does God want them to serve Him at? And it is such a freeing feeling to know that my hope is in God. My hope is not in the circumstances. Has God ever consulted your bank account before He blessed you? No. Does God need to talk with you about the jobs you've got lined up this month before he can pour money into you or provisions or equity? Does God ever look down and say, I'm going to need you to do this and go meet with him and you better tighten up or I ain't going to be able to bless you? No, because God doesn't need us, amen, in tandem with him per se to help him out. You can't help God be God. You just got to trust him. I trust the Lord. He's going to provide. He's going to take care of me and you because we belong to him. And let me ask you this. If you own your vehicle or your house, aren't you going to take care of it? So you know, God's been dealing with me to pray lately, and I'm preaching this prayerfully that God will work on all of us and let this become our, maybe our mode of existence. But my prayer's been, God, I am your possession. And God, if I take care of what I own, you take care of what you own. I belong to you. I am your possession. So if I'm God's possession, he's going to take care of his possessions. He's not going to let me just languish and waste. Why? Because I am his child. When's the last time you looked at your kids at the beginning of the week and said, hope y'all make it this week? Hope y'all find some bread to eat? No, not on your life. Let me tell you, I had a situation with my precious boys. And one day, I got two precious boys and a beautiful little girl. And so one day, the youngest one who just happens to love food, I think he takes after me. I love food. Hallelujah. Our theme song ought to be, Till We Eat Again. May God's peace be with you. Till we should be meet again, but let's just change it to eat again. Hallelujah. So he was so fraught with frustration and he was disturbed because I was eating the last of the chips. It was Doritos or something. He's like, Dad, you ate all the chips. I mean, it just flew all over me. I said, son, I'm going to go buy 50 bags of chips and you're going to eat chips for breakfast, lunch, and dinner till it's running out your nose. Can I tell you, I got frustrated because he thought that I had eaten all the bags of chips rather than go, Dad, I really love chips. Would you mind going and getting us some more? Well, my God, son, yeah, I'll go get us 8 more bags. But he had the attitude and the audacity to get mad at me because I ate the last few chips. Amen. What am I saying? When we get frustrated because we ain't got enough and we start blaming God, God says, my God, I'll give you more chips than you can handle. Can you imagine God's frustration whenever if we would go to him and God, I need this or this and please allow me to be, I feel good. Y'all feel good in the Holy Ghost? Is this all right? I got notes. I could preach a real pretty message, but I just want to communicate. I had a situation on a personal level where God had given me a wonderful, right before I married my wife, I had that Honda, the one I came to down to Westlake in. And so I was getting ready. I'm going to tell you the goodness of God. It's so awesome to trust God. So I was going to trade it in because I was getting ready to evangelize. I wanted my wife to have a nice vehicle to ride in. So I was going to go buy a Tahoe. And I was young and dumb. And now I'm older and maybe a little bit smarter. And so my dad called me. Son, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to take this Honda, and I'm going to trade it in. He said, listen, there's an evangelist at our house. He is in need of a vehicle. His just broke down. Would you consider either giving it to him or selling it to him cheap? I said, Dad, no questions asked. I'm going to give it to him. So I went to the house that day, pulled up old Brother Hooker. He was a wonderful evangelist. And so I got out and said, hey, my brother, come here. I want to show you something. Had it cleaned inside and out. And he come out, yeah, brother. I said, you like my Honda? Oh, brother, that's a pretty car. I said, yo, get in. I want to show you. Got in. I cranked it up. Had 145,000 miles on it. And I said, yeah, the Lord's blessed me. Oh, brother, this is nice. I said, you like these cloth seats? Oh, I like them, brother. I said, you wouldn't happen to have a dollar, would you? Well, yeah, brother, I got a dollar. I said, you mind if you give me a dollar? I need a dollar. Oh, yeah, brother, here's your dollar. As his hand touched mine, I grabbed his hand. I said, for this dollar, I turned the car off and gave him the keys. I said, for this dollar, I give you the keys to this Honda Accord. And the tears started flowing. And he said, oh, brother, he said, I can't do this. I said, I know you can't, but I can. It's my car. I give it to you. I don't want it no more. And I was able. God gave me the grace. That doesn't make me some hero. God gave me the desire to do that. I was able to get a Tahoe. It was a wonderful vehicle that God helped us to pay it off in record time. And I'm so thankful for that. But let me tell you, because I sowed that vehicle into that man of God's life, let me tell you what happened right after that, or little ways after that. We needed a van for my wife. And so Christine's mom, her mother, so grandmother, was going to give a van to Christine's mom. Well, Christine called Christine, and her mom called Christine and said, I don't want the van. Do you want the van? We'll take it. Yep, we'll take it right here. So we were able to go out there and get that van given to us for free. Then, after a little while of driving that, we sold that to one of our precious Hispanic people in the church, or couples, and we needed another vehicle, a little bit bigger, because that van was older. And so we went one day. She had went to a car dealership over here. Mom and Dad was watching the kids, so we got in. We went to this other car dealership. When we pulled up, she said, this is not the one. I want to go to that other. I said, well, let's just look around here. Then we'll go eat lunch. Then we'll go to that other one. I said, we'll make a day of it. So we get out. Well, you know any car dealership, the guy led us to the most expensive vehicle on the lot. Can somebody say amen? And I happened to like it. I was like, man, this is a good looking vehicle. It was like a Hyundai or something like that. Anyway, we get in, and the guy said, look, drive it. Take it anywhere you want all day. He said, bring it back about 6 o'clock tonight. They know what they're doing, because it's going to hook you. That new car smell, it's going to get in your nostrils and you're going to be addicted. Well, we left out of there and went to Nuke's restaurant, and we got out and we went in and ordered, and we went outside and we're sitting there eating, enjoying a beautiful day about 11:30. Here's a man and his wife and a kid and a little cat. There was a stray cat. Well, anyway, we got to talking. And as we got up to leave, I said, Mr. David Strain, it's so good to meet you, Miss Stacy. God bless y'all. Have a good day. I said, we're out car shopping, just going to try to get a vehicle for my wife. He said, you're looking for a vehicle? I said, yes, sir. He said, you may or may not believe this, but I got a friend who's got a vehicle he'd like to give to somebody that's deserving. Beep, beep, beep. Antennas. I said, well, he said, are you interested? I said, I'm real interested. I said, yeah, you know, beggars can't be choosy, but you mind me asking, what kind of vehicle is it? He said, it's a Lincoln Navigator. Whoa, whoa, moving on up. Glory, hallelujah. Can I tell you, God gave us a vehicle free and clear and didn't have to pay not one penny for it. What am I saying? I'm trying to build your faith that we trust God, not the circumstances we can see. And God doesn't need to consult our circumstances to bless us. When He wants to bless us, He can do that. And I think we need to give God praise right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the living God. Hallelujah to the Lord who is worthy of praise. Why would I preach this to this great church? Because I believe God is building your faith, because there is more in your future than is in your past. And God is preparing men and women to understand that you don't need to lust after money. You don't need to look at your bank account either with anxiety or with trust. You don't need to look at your bank account and say, oh God, there's not enough. Or look at it and go, yep, I'm set for about another 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You don't need to look at it. You don't need to do that. Why? Because God says, you tell those that are rich, do not trust in uncertain riches. Who do we trust in? We trust in the living God. We literally say, God, here's the bank account you gave me. You see what's in it, God? If you need some, you talk to me and I'm going to give whatever you tell me to give. Now, let me just tell you, so we can trust God. Going back to my boys, so I'm in about 10 and a half years into this, Brother Bass, into this Tahoe, driving it, and I got to wanting a truck. I wanted a truck. I mean, it got on me so bad. I was looking at Auto Trader. I was looking at eBay. I was looking at Google. I was willing to fly to go get a truck if I could get a good deal. I wanted a Ford F-150. My daddy said, son, why do you want a backslide? I said, Daddy, you married a Ford. I'm going to drive a Ford. Don't get me to preaching at you now. And so it just got on me. And I was, and you know what? Here's the weird thing about humanity. I was in a fully paid Tahoe with all the bells and whistles. And I'd pull up to a red light and I'd see somebody in a pretty Ford truck or GMC at the time. I wasn't totally sold. I could go either way. GMC, I know. We won't get into a debate here. We'll do that after church. Hallelujah. When I did get the Ford God gave me, my daddy said, son, did it come with hand warmers on the back tailgate? I said, no. I said, why? He said, so you could push it in the cold. You know that's funny any day of the week. So here I am in a fully paid Tahoe, and I'm looking at people going, why can't I have a truck? And so one day God used my boys to teach me an example, teach me a lesson. They were at the house. One of them had something. The other got mad that this one had something that I, the father, the daddy, had given to this one. And he was mad, tearing into this one. Why can't, it ain't no fair. Why can't I have an XYZ? And I said, hey, turn around, boy. I said, I gave him that. If you'll ask me, I can give you three of those same things. And the light went on. I said, oh, God, please forgive me, God. I see the folly of my ways right now. Here I am sitting in the air condition of a fully paid Tahoe, looking at people that God gave them the ability to get that truck. God gave them the job to get that truck. God gave them the air to breathe to work the job to get that truck. And I'm mad at them. And it's God that's the one that gave them that. God said, if you'll ask me. So you know what I started doing? I started saying, thank you, God, for blessing that man with that truck. Thank you, God, for blessing that woman. Help them to pay it off quickly, God. Give them strength, God, to work their job. Can I tell somebody, thanksgiving is the antidote to covetousness. If you'll thank God, God will remove that greedy spirit out of you. If you'll thank God, God will take greed out of your heart. If you'll thank God for what you got and thank God for blessing other people. So now, and I preach this into this great people, if you see somebody's got a beautiful house, you don't wish you had that house. You say, thank you, God, for blessing them with that house. If you see somebody in a vehicle, thank you for putting them in the vehicle. Because who gives every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning? So I started thanking God. Can I tell you and boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad, is that God gave me an F-150 at $16,000 below MSRP. I'm telling you, I bought, listen, Rick Wright in our church, he told me when I bought it, he said, if you'll bring it to me today, I'll buy it to you, buy it from you for $3,000 more than you gave, and we'll still make money on it. I said, I think I'll drive it a little while. I'm preaching this because God has literally looked down on this great people and said, I want to bless you. But you've got to understand, God's changing our perspective. We're not going to lust over the things the world lusts over. We're not going to covet over the things the world covets. We're going to say, God, I trust you. I look to you, God. I long for you, God. And when you seek God first, all these other things are going to be added to you. On the way here, it's been in my spirit. Your future is greater than your past. Your future is greater. You know what? Jesus looked at disciples. He knew they would be tempted to turn around and say the past. Oh, if we could go back to the good old days. Can I tell somebody, the good old days weren't nearly as good as you think they were. I'm going to tell you, I love to read about brush arbors. I don't know if I'd want to go to one. You say, why? No air conditioning. I'm going to just be honest with you. Man, no air conditioning in Louisiana in a hot summertime? My Lord, let's have revival in the wintertime in Jesus' name. Because God is conditioning us to understand that our future is greater than our past. We're not to look back to yesterday. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because he knew his disciples would be going if Jesus were here after he had died and resurrected. But Jesus said, I am here. I put my spirit in you. I put my power in you. It is not that the Lord said, the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not the preacher, amen, not the pastor, not the special elite, but those who have faith in God. So the next time you see somebody that is sick, you need to tell them, I'll pray for you right now, and God will work a miracle in your life. Would somebody give God praise? Would somebody magnify the name of Jesus? I can't remember if I told this last time, and I won't be much longer. Amen. But I want to tell you, God has been dealing with me that He wants to be able to trust men and churches to be able to do the work of the kingdom. How many of you know that there are now about 8 billion people on the face of the earth? Can somebody say 8 billion? That is a lot of people. How are we going to reach that many people? We need evangelists. We need missionaries. God's been dealing with me, and I humble myself before God and to my brethren and to this church that my spirit's right. But God's been dealing with me. How can we leverage the strength of our church that's paid off in order to create money for missions? And God showed me a piece of land right beside our current church that we are in the process of buying, because I want to put in, and please hear this in the humility of my spirit, I want to put in a reunion coffee house. There's about 17,000 cars a day that pass by this location. And can you imagine if we just got 1,200 of them on just one day to spend about $4, that would equal up to about $1 million in 1 year. So what if we could take and advertise that up to 75% of every dollar spent goes to missions? It's my goal that we give over $1 million to missions every year. I'm preaching this not to boast in ability, God forbid, but to tell you, who is it in this church that God can give you millions to pour through you, and you recognize not every dollar is for me. Not everything that comes to me is for me. It's meant to flow through me. Who can God trust that doesn't lust over money and say, give me millions to spend on myself? God's been dealing with me, amen, even about retirement, that I should not lust for some big retirement nest egg, but I should try to get as many dollars into the mission field as possible. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and we've got to get this message to everybody possible. God, I believe God can literally give men in this church and women connections that turn into opportunities for millions to flow through you. Hey, man, how many of you believe God can trust you with millions? Can God trust you with money? Can God trust you that if He gives it to you, you're not going to say, oh, all this is for me? God dealt with me and said, conduits that carry water experience the moisture, but they don't drink every drop that flows through them. If a pipe was, if you were a pipe and God wanted to flow 10 million gallons through you, can you handle 10 million gallons coming into your body? I don't think so. All you're going to need in a year's time is maybe, let's just be generous, 700,000 gallons. Amen. You are not, let's see, yeah. Did I say 10 million? Let's back that up. Let's just say 70,000 gallons. I don't even know how many gallons you need in a year. But God doesn't want us to have this mentality. Every dollar that comes to me is for me. But God says, I want to create people who have a mindset that I want to become the conduit through which millions can flow. Why? Because the kingdom needs it. Because the kingdom of God. So I've talked to your pastor a little bit, and there's goals and there's dreams of doing things for missions and seeing the work of God go forward. And I'm so thankful. Why? Because our future is greater than our past. And it used to, we could not even think about giving $1 million to missions. But when we met with our board the other night, I began to talk to them, and one man was in agreement, and all of them are in agreement, but one man has seen it. I said, gentlemen, what about, and I talked to another pastor up in North Mississippi. I said, what about if we leveraged the strength of our church financial, and we had some retail complexes or shopping centers that brought in maybe 50 to 60,000 in a year, or maybe 100,000. And one of our board members says, that's the way I've gained my equity and my my wealth is through rental property. And so we're exploring that option. Why are we doing this? Not so we can get credit and glory, but so God can say, I'm going to pour millions through a vessel that says, it's not for me, it's for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and would you love Jesus right now? I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God. God, we need you today, God. This is your church. We are the sheep of your pasture. Oh, God, we belong to you, God. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. You bought us at Calvary. We belong to you, God. If you'll give me about 5 more minutes and I'm done. Amen. When God blessed the children of Israel, how many of you know the story of God blessing the children of Israel? They came out of Israel with more than they could ever handle. They were millionaires when they came out of Israel. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There were no Walmarts in the wilderness. There were no Dollar Generals in the desert. There was not one spot to exchange all of their wealth for any goods and services. And guess what? They didn't need any goods and services. They didn't need to buy food. God brought food down every morning. They didn't need to buy water. God gave them water from a rock. They didn't need to buy shoes. The shoes they came out of Egypt with lasted 40 years. Don't you wish we had that kind of, amen, God-like economy now? Amen. The clothes your kids got on right now, they will last them another 40 years. No more buying clothes. Praise God. Especially with girls. I got that little girl. We adopted her last year. And somebody said, you better make sure there's some money coming because she's finna cost you. I said, oh God. And here's the problem. Or at least now I'm talking, I'm now a girl dad. But she's got the dress, but the shoes got to match her dress. And the bow's got to match the dress that matches the shoes. And if we change any one of them, everything's got to change to match. And I'm going, it can be tone on tone. No, it can't be tone on tone. It's got to match colors. Oh, God. Y'all pray for me in Jesus' name. I'm just going to stand. Y'all come lay hands on me. God blessed Israel with more than they could handle, and they never needed it to exchange for goods and services. You mean God gave them money and they didn't need money? No, they didn't need it. Look at it. All the way from leaving Egypt, all the way to the entering in of Canaan land, they never used their money to buy something for them. Yet they never went without. So why'd God give their money? Why'd God give them wealth? There would be a day when the preacher would stand up and say, we need to build a tabernacle for the Lord. A spot to spend our money. We're coming. And they started bringing it till the preacher said, y'all's quit. We got too much. I ain't never heard a preacher say that. I ain't never heard a preacher say, y'all quit giving. My God, this is the givingest church. Would y'all please stop? I ain't never heard one say that. But here's the thing. I'm preaching this. Because God, could it be that God wants to give you more than enough that you can't eat all you got? You got more bread, more seed, corn. You can't grind it up and eat it in a year. What you gonna do with it when the man of God says there is a need and you rally behind that? You begin to say, here it is, God. And guess what? The open hand that gives is the same one that can receive. But the hand that says, I'm gonna hold on to it and I ain't letting it go. Guess what else you can't do? You can't receive either. Please hear the spirit that I'm preaching this in. In the humility of my spirit, God wants to trust us because we're living in a day where we don't need to put trust in stock in what we can see. We don't need to put trust in stock. The first thing you don't need to check when you get up in the morning is your bank account. You need to get up and check in with God. Open your Bible and say, how is it, Lord, between me and you, God? How is it, God, between me and the Lord today? And that, if it's good there, I can promise you it'll be good in the bank account too. Because God doesn't need what's in the bank account. And I'm preaching to precious people and I'm done. Amen. But I want to tell somebody, this church is poised for greatness. How many of you believe that? This church is going to do great exploits. The future is greater than the past. I can't tell you why the past is what it is, whether it's good or bad, but I can tell you this. Quit looking behind you and start looking in front of you and saying, I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And God's going to carry us into a glorious, glorious future. Can somebody clap your hands and give God praise? Can you clap your hands to give God praise? Would you lift your voice right now? Would you lift your voice to God? The Holy Ghost is doing a work in the DNA of this church. Would you look at your neighbor and say, how do you see it? How do you see it? Abraham, he said, I see God providing. Abraham, you're leaving your residence. You're leaving your relationships. You're leaving your reward. You're leaving every means necessary to make a living. He said, I don't need to make a living. I need to make sure my connection with God is steadfast and secure. And when that is secure, everything else will fall into place. And I preach to precious people right now. God has you. God has this church. I feel this in the palm of his hand. Why? Because he is doing a work with this church. And you need to encourage yourself. We're a part of a church that's going somewhere. And God's going to do something. Why? Not us, not our ability, but it's his reputation that's on the line. It's his name that's on the line. It's his great name that he wants to glorify and exalt in the earth. And if we'll let him, God will do it. Would you stand to your feet right now?